Okay, so tonight's daf is Lamed Beis / Lamed Gimel. So we got to the bottom of Lamed Beis Lamed Aleph. The Gemara is going through a series of questions Alexander had for the Ziknei Darum, Ziknei Negev. So we're up to around 15 lines up or so, maybe 10, 20 lines up. Amar Lehen Eden Minachan Chacham Yasser. So which of you, which of the Yidden are the wisest? Who is the wisest among you? So they said to him, "Kulana kechad shavin. We're all the same. The ha kol milsa the amr islana bechad pasan lecha. Everything you ask us, everything you say, we're going to all give you the same answer." So Amr Lahente says, "Madin asristin lekable." It's a bit of machlokas how to interpret this line here, but if you guys are so smart, so why why are we the rulers and not you? Amr Lahente. So they responded back to Alexander. The Satan got us. We did averas. The Satan Yitara tricked us. So therefore, we dropped below you. But the Maisa were smarter than you. So Amar Lahen, Ha ani maktilna yaschem b'gzeres malchin. I could kill you with a gzeres malach. I have power over you. So Amar Lahen, they say to him, Shaltim b'yamalka, the power is in the hand of the melech, but v'lo yai, it's not appropriate, the malka for the king, because of to do something that's inappropriate. If we're not deserving of death, a king doesn't do something, he shouldn't be doing something that is really not true. Yadi, immediately after that, Albish, Yasin, Lvushin, Dargun, he then immediately placed some nice clothing on the Ziknei Darum, Vishadi, Manichu, Didava, and sent them off with gold, Kalim, Atzavarim, wrapped around their necks. Amalhan, so then he said to them, Baina da'azil, Medinas Africa, I want to go to Africa. So Amr Lehi, they said to him, Lo Matzis Azlis, you can't go there because the Paski Har Choshech. There are these mountains of darkness that are in the way. You can't, there's no way to circumvent them. Amr Lehi, Lo Sagi, it's not enough. Dulo Azilna, I want to go. I have no choice. I want to go. Am Tihachi Mishan Lechu, that's what I'm asking you. I'm going. Tell me how to get there. Elamai Avid, so what can I do to get there? So they said, okay, fine. If you're not giving us a choice, Amr Lehi will tell you this. You do the following. I see Chamra Luva. I get some special donkeys from a place of loaf. The Parshi Behavra, they're able to travel in the darkness.
Libyan donkeys.
That's right, Libyan, okay. Fine, so that's in Africa. So go get these Libyan donkeys who know how to travel at night. Vaisi Kibur de Masna, and bring long ropes. The Kate Bahagisa, and tie it on one entrance, where the side that you're coming into the mountains, tie it on something. And tie it on, and the Dechias is when you go, when you travel through these dark mountains, Nakba Gavayu, Vasal Asrach. And you could go back. You could follow your trail back to where you came from. So Avad Hachi. So they did what they recommended him to do. So then Avad Hachi v'Azil, and they went through these dark mountains. Matilahu Machuza. They got to the city. The Kula Nashi. The only women lived here. By the Mevid Karba Bahadayu. And they wanted to what's Karba mean? They come closer to them. They said battle. Okay. Wanted to come close and engage them in battle. So Amr Lehi, they said to, the women said to Alexander, "E katlaslan, if you kill us, Yomur, they're going to say, Nashi kata, you kill women. That's going to look bad in your reputation. E katlalacha, if we kill you, the women kill you, Yomur, malka de kalu nashi, they're going to make fun of you that you were killed by women. It's not good for you to engage us in battle. Either way, you're going to lose out." Amr Lehi, so he said to them, "Aishili nahama, bring me some bread." So Aishili nahama, the dahava, they brought him out bread of gold. So absurd the dahava on a golden table. Amalei says to the women, "Mi achli anshi nahama the dahava? Does a person eat golden bread? It's impossible." Amalei, they said, "Well, ella inama beishus. If you want real bread, lo havi lecha baasach the nama lemechel. There's no bread where you came from. Did the shaklis baasil hachi? Did you come here to get bread? So we thought you obviously weren't looking for real bread. Fine." Kinafik Vasi, when he got up and left this city, Kasav Ababa de Mechuzah, he wrote, Alexander wrote in the gate of this city, Ona Alexandrus Mukdin Havisi Shati, I was here, I was a Shota, Ad Asisa La Medinas Africa Dinashi. I was an unintelligent person until I got to this city in Africa of these women that they taught me how to think. Vilifes Eitza Minashi, and I learned some Mechachma from these women. Okay. So then, Kishakav Asa Yosef Ahu Mayina. So then he went and he sat along the spring. Ka'achal Naman, he was eating bread next to the spring. Have a biyadei gulda de malcha, and he had some salted fish. Badei de machavir lehu, when he was washing the fish from the salt. Nafa behu recha, this very nice smell, he started to, the scent he started to smell. Amar, he says, Shema Amina, this beautiful smell, Hayena Gan Eden, this smell must be coming from Gan Eden, it's so pleasant. So Ikadami, some say, Shakal Mahane Maya, Tarba Ape, some say that he took the water and washed his face. Ikadami, others say, Idle, Kuli Adamati Lepischa, the Gan Eden. Others say, he followed the river until he got to the entrance of Gan Eden. And Ramakullah, and he screamed out, Pischi Li Bava, open up the gate to Gan Eden, let me in. Amrilay, so the response backwards from Gan Eden is Zeashar Lashem, it's for Hashem, it's not for you. Amrilay, so then he says to the people who are the Malachim in Gan Eden, Ana Nami Malkan, I'm also a king, just like Hashem's a king. Michshev Chashivini, I'm a Chashiv person. Havili Mide, give me something at least from Gan Eden. Yehavlei Gulgulasa, they gave him a Gulgulasa, which is an eyeball, a human eye. So Chada, a one eye. Asya.
Wait, this is an eye or a skull?
An eye, I think, no?
Gulgulik is usually a skull.
What do they say it is?
Orb of a human eye.
Yeah. So they say Chada.
Gulgulis of the Ain, that's one. That's why it's.
The circle of the eye, the ball, the eyeball. Asya takli the kule dehava v'kasva di day. He said takli, he weighed all the golden serve that he had baday up against this eyeball. Lahava miskle wouldn't weigh down. He put all the golden silver in the eyeball, even though it was so small, was weighing down all the weights. It didn't make any sense. So Amr Lahun, the rabbanon, he says to the rabbi, "Is my high? What's going on here? How could the eyeball be so heavy?" Amr, they said, "Gulgulasa de'ena, the eyeball, the bistra of a human, vidame de'lo kasav. It's never satisfied. No matter what a person looks at, no matter how much food or money, it's never satisfied. So there's always this weight. It always wants more. Somehow that translates into weight." So Amr Lahu, mi'mai, the hachi, how do you know that's the case? Who? So he says, shakli, what?
Peter, what's the case?
That the eyeball is never satisfied, and that's what's causing it to weigh down. So, shakli kalal afra, v'kasya, take some dirt, and cover up the eye. So this way, you will no longer see anything. So, well, they did that. And the altar talkli, and immediately the scale flipped over, and the gold and silver fell to the weight, and the eyeball had its normal weight of being very, very light. So you see, the reason why it was weighing down, because the eye is never satisfied with what it sees. Okay. So then it says, how do you know, what's the pasuk for this? The pasuk is, it quotes here, pasuk Mishlei, Sheol Vavoda, the pit, the depths, which is a reference to Gehenim, Lo Tizbana, is never satisfied, it's endless. And the Gomer, the rest of the pasuk goes, Ve'ene Hadam Lo Tizbana, and the eye of man is also never satisfied, it's always wants more. So it therefore translates into wait until you covered it. That was the problem. Tana de Be'al Yel, Gehenim Lamala, Menarakia, Gehenim is above the world. V'yesh Amrim Lachare Hare Choshech, others say it's behind these mountains of darkness that we spoke of before. In those mountains to get to Africa is where Gehenim is hidden. Tani Rabbi Chia Kol Osik B'Torah B'Layla, Shechina Kenegdo. Anybody who learns at night, I'm not sure why this is here, but anybody who learns at night, the Medrash says, Shechina Kenegdo, the Shechina is right next to him. Shinamar, as the Pasuk says, Kumi Roni B'Layla, Rosh Ashmuris, go wake up in the night and scream, or really sing in the night, which is a reference to Torah, Rosh Ashmuris, in the beginning of the change of the Shemira at nighttime. Shifchei Kamayim Libech Nocha Pnei Hashem, and pour out your heart like water, and Neged Hashem. So we see the Shechina is going to be present in those who are Roni B'Layla, those who learn B'Layla. Amar Rav Elazar ben Azariah, Tamani Chacham and Marvin Shalom Ba'olam, those who learn, create, bring shalom into this world. Shinemar, v'chol b'nayach limudu Hashem, rav shalom b'nayach. They bring shalom in this world. Now the true hajin alach lo hayu kofsim. So this is really the last gemara we have in Tamid. The remaining is really just Mishnayot, so that's why this gemara is really here, because we always end off with something positive. And this appears at the end of many mesechtas. Actually, when they have a calculation, I think this is Chida writes, the word banecha stands for the four mesechtas that end off with this. It doesn't include Tamid, because this is not really the end of the mesechta. Even though it's the last gemara in Tamid, there's a mishnah later on. So the four mesechtas of Banayach is, it's Brachos, it's Nedarim, Nedarim or Nazir, which are Nivamos, and Krisus. Banayach stands for all four. I don't remember if it's Nedarim or Nazir, but those are the four Banayach stands for. That's when the word, this Banayach, this Medrash, appears at the end of those four mesechtas. But they don't include Tamid, because it's not really the last daf of Tamid. Okay, let's continue now. Amalehem Mamuna. The Mamuna would say then, Baruch Hu Bracha Achas, after they did the previous avodas, they said, now make a bracha. Hey, Baruch Hu, and they would say a bracha. Which bracha would they say? Let's look at the Mefarish here, reference to the Avas Olam. It's also, this appears in Masachas Brachos, this Mishnah.
Is this referring to Hamuna?
Huh?
Is this referring to Hamuna?
What?
Is this what's that question? Who's the
Mamuna
we're talking about?
The Kohen who's in charge. Yeah. Exactly. Not the one who, no, the one who was, who won, the Mamun is earlier, the guy who was in charge of everything. Yeah. So then, the Heim Baruch Hu, the Tzei Bracha, Kara Aseret HaDibros, then they recite Aseret HaDibros. That's what the Gemara talks about. They used to say Aseret HaDibros, but then people said, Aseret HaDibros is more important than the rest of the Torah. So then they removed saying Aseret HaDibros from the Seder Avodah. And then they would say, Shema, Vayam Shemoa, Vayomer, Baruch Hu, Am. Then they'd say, Baruch Hu, Am. What's the nusach of that? Looking in the Mefarish here for a second. Where's Baruch Hu Sa'am? Can't say what it is. I'm not sure where the bracha is.
Okay. This is MSV Yatsu, Baruch Hu Sa'am. It's a continuation.
Just they gave a bracha to them. Okay. Shalosh brachos, MSV Yatsu. Here we go. Baruch Sa'am, Shalosh Brachos. That's how you read it. Baruch Sa'am, Shalosh Brachos, Emes V'yatzev Avodah, Ubrikas Kohanim. They say all those brachos. Ubishavis Mosifin Bracha Achas, the Mishmar Hayotze. And Shabbos, he had another bracha to farewell the Kohanim who would be leaving. Next Mishnah says, Amar Lahem. Then they would say, Chadashim Lektaris. Chadashim was the new people who never had a chance to do the Ketaris. They should come for the next pious, for the Ketaris was the next lottery they would draw. Because the din is that the Gemara tells us that the Ketores is a simon for Ashiris. That you have to spread the wealth. So it's not fair if a guy already had that, he did Ketores once before in his life, and had the school for Ashiris to have it a second time, let someone else have an opportunity. So the Chadashim were those Kohanim who never had a chance, the new ones who never had a chance yet to do the Avodah of Ketores, they were the ones to come forward for this next pious.
What if he didn't have Ashiris yet? Could he go in?
Ezu Ashir. Smech Bechelka. So he should be. Could be. So then the Gemara says, the Mishnah says, Vefisu, then they do another pious for the Ketores. Zach, Misha, Zach, whoever gets it, gets it. Amar Lehem, Chadashim, Ema, Yishan, Ishenim now. Now all the new ones and the old ones, all the Kohanim come together for the next pious. The Pisu, they do another pious. Mim, Ala, Ivarim, Mnekevesh, Mizbeach, who would bring up the limbs to the Mizbeach. They remember lying on the ramp. We never brought them onto the Mizbeach just yet. So that was his next pious. But Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov argues and says, no, Omer, Hamala Ivarim Lekevesh, who Mala Osan Agav Himizbech? Whoever brought the limbs to the ramp, he would go back now to the stage and go pick up a limb and finish that avoda and place it on the fire on top of the Mizbech.
Didn't we say somewhere before that there's only one pious and then...
We only saw one. That the Gemara and Yuma tells us there were four different payasas throughout the day. Then the next mission tells us, Masum Lechazanim. Then all the Kohanim who weren't doing any avodah at that point, they'd be handed over to the chazan, the guy in charge. Hayu mafshitin osam es begdem. He would remove their clothing. Belohayu manichan aleim ela mechnasayim. They'd be only wearing their pants. Bevad vechalonos hayu sham. And there are these windows which are kind of like lockers. And vekasav aleim tashrish hakelim. And it would say the different kelim where they went in which locker. Now misha zocha biktores. Whoever was zocha nektores. I notice a kaf, you take this spoon. A kaf, domer letarkav, gadol shozov. It was similar to some other item. How do they define tarkav? What do they say this is? A type of kli?
Three kavim, I think. Tar and kastraf. I'm not sure.
No, tarkav is the same shame of a kli, though. Okay, it's called a tarkav. Okay. It's a kaf that's called a tarkav. Now, gadol shozov, made of gold. And now, then what you're saying, mechazekes shlosha kavim, it held three kav, that's the size, the volume it was able to hold. There's a bazach, which is like a small little spoon in this bigger spoon that was inside of it. I have a picture, a very nice picture, actually. It's like a big ladle. Top here. There's a big ladle here, and inside is a small little, another kli inside of it. Now, in that small kli, which is called a bazach, so the Mishnah says on the top of Laman Gimel now, that small bazach was malai, the godish ketores, was filled with all the ketores inside, in the small kli.
Kadush, I think, is overflow.
Yeah. Mikisai hayalo, and there's a cover on this bazach, u'kimin mututalas hayalav milamal. And there's a little ring on top of that lid, of the bazach.
And there's a spoon inside that, or?
No, this was a spoon inside the larger kaf. So the Bazach was a small one which had the overflowing Ketores with a little cover and a ring on top of it, and that was inside a larger spoon that was holding the smaller one inside of it.
So the Bazach is a spoon.
The Bazach is a small spoon,
right, okay.
And then the Kaf is the larger spoon. So the Mishnah Hay says, now Misha Zocha B'machta, now whoever was Zocha in the Machta was the shovel, Nato Machta, he would have to go now take the Machta HaKesef, a silver shovel, Vala L'Rosh Mizbeach, he would go to ascend the top of the Mizbeach, Ufanes HaGacham, he would push away the different coals, Halach, and push them aside, V'chata, and he'd go in, Min HaMechulas HaPnimius, even though we don't really learn the parentheses, but he would try to dig down for one of the hot coals that are below on the Mizbeach, and he'd scoop it up. And Yared, he'd go down the ramp, V'irin L'toch Shazov, and then he would pour it into a smaller golden pan or shovel, and his Pazim Menu B'kikav, so this golden smaller shovel was only able to hold two kav, so one kav would overflow and fall onto the floor. Nispazim Yemenu would separate, disperse, kikav gecham around the kav of gecham would fall out. V'mechavdin la'amah, they'd sweep those coals into the amah, that little drain in the center of the Beis HaMikdash. V'b'Shabbos, however, since it's muksa, to move away the coals, you might be mechabin, might extinguish it. So then hayakof alen pasachta, they'd place this pasachta, some kli, that would cover the coal that fell into the floor.
Where did they do this? On which floor? On the side of the Mizbeach?
The sign that doesn't say exactly where, but when he came down the ramp, somewhere, it doesn't seem like we don't care where, but somewhere, they poured into a silver shovel, and then a golden shovel, and then overflowed, a kav fell out onto the floor.
But it wasn't near the place we said before that they had the coals that it got swallowed up or something?
No, that was only the deshen. The Chumat HaDeshen was placed on the right side of the ramp and swallowed up. This area was not. It could have been anywhere. It doesn't say where this took place, though. Now, this pasachtar, ha'isa kliga, there was a large kli, mechazek es letach, v'sheish letach, the volume was a letach, v'sheish sharsheros hayuba, and there were two chains connected to this pasachtar. And achashu moshech ba, v'yorid, one where you pull it, it was kind of like a pulley, v'achashu oches ba m'leman, and a guy from the top was pulling it up. So it went up and down the chains, depending where you need this pasachtar, there's a chain on one hand and a chain on the other hand, pulling it as it was needed. Why? B'shriel shalot tiskalgel, so it shouldn't flip over while it was being processed, because they'd use this actually to bring down the ashes from the Mizbeach, they'd have it carried down on this Pasachtar. So while they're carrying it down, they don't want it to flip over and fall onto the floor, so two guys would hold it tightly as they'd slowly lower it down to the Ritzba of the Beis HaMikdash and ultimately take it outside back. So then the Mishnah says, now this Shloshet Dvarim Ha'isa Mishameshes, this Pasachtar was used for three different things. One, kofen esa agavi gecham al sheretz b'Shabbos. If you found the sheretz or you found gecham on Shabbos, you'd have to cover it because you can't move them because they're muksa. Umaridin ba es hadeshin ma agavi mizbech. Was also used as a pulley to bring the ashes down from the mizbech. Next Mishnah. Higiyas bein ha'ulam l'mizbech. Then you get between the mizbech and the ulam. The ulam was a large hole that led into the heichal. Now in the heichal was where they had the mizbech panimi, that small mizbech where the ketores went on, and the shulchan in the north, and the menorah on the south. So the Mishnah says, Higiyah ben ulam l'mizbech, so then the people holding the kohanim who hold the ketores and the gechalim would get between the mizbech and the ulam. Nata echad es ha-magrefa, v'zarko bein ha-ulam u'mizbech. So then the guy would take the magrefa. The magrefa was like the fork, right? He'd take the fork and throw it between the ulam and the mizbech. Let's remember that case here. I'm not sure why he. I don't remember why he threw this, but he threw it down. Okay, and then after that, Ein Adam Shemer Kol Chaveiro Bishalai Mikol Magrefa. And there was such a loud noise when he threw this shovel or this large pick, this fork onto the floor. People couldn't hear his friend speaking during that few seconds. B'shalosh Dvarim Ha'isam Shemeshes, and there was three. This Magrefa was used for three different functions. Kohen Shishomei, three reasons why this was done. One is Kohen Shishomei's Kola. When a Kohen heard this, Yodeh She'ach V'Kohenim Nichnasam Nishtachavos. He knew now is about time when they're going to enter into the Ketores and they're going to do a Hishachavah. Yeah? They're going to bow down. Huratan, he would begin to run. He would want to run with him and do the Hishachavah. And then also, then Ben Levi, Shishomei's Kola, Levi heard this, Yodeh She'ach V'Levim Nichnasam L'daber Bashir. Now it was the cue for the Levim to start getting ready to sing, Vahu Ratuba, then he'd run to his position on the stage to start singing soon. And the third indicator this was for was Rosh Rosh Mamid Esa Tmeim Bishar HaMidrach. And then the Rosh of the Av of that Mishmar of the Kohanim would then start making a line of all those people who were Tamei of that base Av. They would stand outside the eastern gate. I don't remember what the reason for that was, but that would be the third reason they'd have to do this. My great friend, throw it down. Make a loud noise. Hajin Alach Amar Lemamuna.
It's interesting, the Lashon is that the Vladim would be going Ledaber Bishir.
I agree. It is very interesting. But I guess the idea of the singing is not tuned, it's also reciting Pesukim and Tehillim, so it's also a speech, I guess, as well. But I agree, it is interesting. Okay. Then the next parak tells us, Hajin Lach Amar Lemamuna. I said that already, fine. Hechilu Olam B'malos Ha'olam. Then they begin to ascend the stairs towards Ulam. Whoever zocha to remove the ashes from the inner mizbeach, v'amenorah, and the ashes from the menorah, hayu makdimim lefneim, would go in front. Those two kohanim would go first. Misha zocha bedishin mizbeach apnimi nichnas. So then the guy who's doing the mizbeach, the kohen who's doing the mizbeach apnimi, the inner mizbeach, he would go in first. V'notas atani, he would take some basket which had all the ashes. It seems to be that this basket was already situated on the mizbeach apnimi, which caught all the ashes. He'd take it out and eventually remove it. Hishtachva, he'd bow down, v'yatz, and then he'd leave with this tani, with this basket. Misha zocha b'dishin ha-menorah, whoever, the kohen who was zocha to clean the ashes from the menorah, nichnas, he'd go in, v'matzah shteit neiros ha-maravayim. There's a big machlokas how the menorah was. The machlokas in Gemara, whether or not it went from east to west, or it's going south to north. It's a Gemara in Shabbos as well, as in Menachos. And then according to whether it's going this way, or that way, it was machlokas what the Ner Maravi is. Now, we typically understand Ner Maravi is the center flame. That's only if you assume it goes east, south to north. None of the candles were any more west. They're all the same west and east. They're in the center. So the center one's referred to as the Ner Maravi. But if you assume the menorah goes east to west, so the most western one wasn't Ner Maravi. I think it was the second one from the most east. Because right here, the last one is the most east one. Once you go one over, that means it's a little bit to the west. So the second one is really the Ner Maravi. So again, there's a lot of girsos here in this big machlokas about, again, as I said, the positioning of the menorah. But if you find two Neros Maravium or Mizrachios Dolkin still lit, Midashin as a Mizrachi, Umaniach as a Maravi, you would then clean out the eastern, assuming the last two candles are still lit, you clean out the eastern ashes and you leave the Maravi, that second one, you leave it still lit.
What's the two?
So that's again part of this discussion. I'm not going to get into Valda right now, but the last two are lit, assuming the other six went out. Five went out.
Right,
so again, the Ner Maravi never went out. It wasn't supposed to go out. But sometimes they had two candles that were still lit. So if the one candle was still lit, then you would take out the ashes and it would go out. But you wouldn't touch the Ner Maravi. So then, Shemimena Hayyah Malikas HaMenorah Shobin Harbayim, because you want to use that light, the candle of the Ner Maravi, to light the candles for that evening when you light it. Now there is a whole other machlokas between the Rambam and others, whether or not you light it only in the evening or even in the morning. Everybody agrees you light it in the morning, or at the evening rather. In the evening you light it. So this whole cleaning, this is just a cleaning process according to most Rishonim. The Rambam writes that, if I remember correctly, not only do you clean it in the morning, but after you clean it, then you would relight the menorah in the morning as well. But most Rishonim say you wouldn't light it until evening. That's what's probably a girsa here, Shobein Harbayim. Some probably say Shel Shachar, I'm guessing. I don't know. Yeah, some take out the... No, it's a different point. Okay. So either way, you leave the Ner Maravi lit until the evening when you need to use that fire to light the other candles. Matzah Shekava. Let's say you go in and the Ner Maravi went out. Midashna Malika Mimizbech Olat. Then you would remove the ashes even from the Ner Maravi and you would light it, the candles in the evening, from the fire on the Mizbech. That's where you get the fire from the Eish Tamid. Then, Natas Akuz Mimala Shnia Vishtachva V'yatzah. So then, there is a... Kli called a kuz. There was a jug of that had all the ashes and the wicks that he placed there. It was on the second. They had three stairs going to the menorah. So this kuz, which was there on the second stair, was where he took all the ashes and the wicks to put it in there. So when he was done cleaning out all of the menorah, so then he'd pick up that kuz and he'd take a bow and he would exit. Mishnah base, Misha zocha b'machte, person who was zocha in the machte in that shovel who was carrying the coals now. He tzavres a gecholam agavi mizbeach. He take that pan of coals and dump it in a pile on top of the mizbeach apnimi, the mizbeach haketores. It's three names. It's called mizbeach haketores, Mizbech HaPnimim because it's the most inner one, and Mizbech HaNechoshes because it was made of a Nechoshes as opposed to the outer, larger one was Mizbech HaZav. The other way around. The inner one was Mizbech HaZav. The inner one was made of gold. The outer one was called Mizbech HaNechoshes. So then the Kohen would take again the Gecholm and you make a pile, this heap of Gecholm on top of the Mizbech HaPnimim. And the Radadon, Bishulei Machta. Then you take the back, the Shulei Machta, the back of the pan, and Radadon, spread them evenly out over the top of the Mizbeach. Vishachma, then he'd bow down, Vyatz, and he'd walk out. So now the hot coals, the fresh coals, are on top of the Mizbeach, Hapnimi, the Mizbeach Hazav. Next Misha tells us, Misha Zachel Bektoris, whoever Zocha to carry the Ktoris, Hayonote as Habazach, he'd take that small kli, the small spoon that had the Ktoris in it, Mitocha Kaf, he'd remove it from the larger Kaf, Vinosa La'avo, and he'd give it to a friend. He could choose a krovo, a friend of his. He could choose to help him out, to partner with him to do this ktoris. And this pazer mimenu l'tocha, and then he'd spread out into the spoon. I think. Let's see how this process went again. He'd pour it into the kaf, and then the friend would be nosalo b'chafna. Then the friend would place it into the kohen who's zocher into his hands. He'd now have the ktoris in his hands. So then, Malamdin also, then we teach the Kohen who's doing the Ktoris, have Izahir, be very, very careful. Shema Tashil Mipanecha, so Tichave, so you shouldn't burn yourself. So I recall there's a machlokas here, what's going on, but the simple understanding is when he does the Ktoris, he should first pour in front of him and then pour away. Because he pours behind him first there, the smoke comes up and pours closer to him, it's very likely it might come into his face. So you first put the Ktoris there and push it away from you as you pour the rest of the Ktoris over the rest of the coals, so it's going away from your face. So you shouldn't burn your face. But I think it's machlokas which direction you go in. I think the Ravid and the Mefarish argue about this. Okay. And then Hiskel Meradadon Yoti begin to spread out the Ktoris over all the coals, and then he would go out. And lo hayam hamaktir maktir. Now the Kohen wouldn't put the Ktoris on the Mizbech ad shememuna omer lo haktir. Now he needed the order. The Mamuna had to say, okay, now it's time, do the Haktara. Now im haya Kohen Gadol Mamuna, is that im haya Kohen Gadol, if the Kohen Gadol wanted to do the Ktoris. See, if the Kohen Gadol wanted to do the Avodah anytime, he could say, I want to do this Ktoris today. So let's say one day the Kohen Gadol says, I want to do the Ktoris. So then the Mamuna would have to say to him, hamamuna omer lo, ishi Kohen Gadol, he's to refer to him in a proper way. Ishi Kohen Gadol Hektir. He gives him the proper title. Now's the time to do the Ktoris. Pirshu Am, the Am would distance themselves, the Hektir, and then he would do the Ktoris, Vishtachva Vyotze, because when he does the Ktoris, nobody else can be in the Heichal, that area, and I think also between the Ulam and Mizbech, no one's allowed to be there during the Ktoris, other than the Kohen who's doing the Avodah, so they'd all disperse, they'd separate back, and then the Kohen would place the Ktoris on top, he'd bow down, and then he would exit from the Heichal. Okay, last perek, flying through. Okay, next Mishnah says, Bizman Shekohen Gadol Nichnas Lishachvos. So when the Kohen Gadol would go in to do his bowing, Shlosha Ochsimbo, there were three people who would assist him. Echar Biyamino, Echar Bismal, one guy on the right, one guy on the left. Vechar Bavanim Tovos, and one guy holding on to the Avanim Tovos and the Ephod, the Choshen, to hold on to it so it shouldn't drag onto the floor while he's bowing down. The Kevin Sheshama Hamamuna, Kol Raglav Shel Kohen Gadol. When the Mamuna, the guy in charge, the Gabbai, heard the legs of the Kohen Gadol walking, he'd hear the bells. So then Shehu Yotzei, we saw he heard he's leaving the Heichal, he'd Higbiyalo as the Parachas, he'd lift up the curtain, Nichnas Vishtachave. And the Kohen Gadol would then enter in the Parachas to the Heichal, he'd bow down, the Yotzei, then he would leave, he would exit, and then afterwards, Nichnasu Achav HaKohanim Vishachav Yotzei. Then the rest of the Kohanim would go into the Heichal, they'd all bow down, and then they would leave. Now this parochas is not the parochas that we normally speak of. The parochas is really between the Kodesh Kodashim and the Heichal, between the Aron and the Menorah and the Mizbeach and the Shulchan. This is a second parochas which was there. It wasn't really part of the Beis HaMikdash, but they placed it there as Tznias Ba'alma. It was just a divider. It's called a parochas because it's a curtain, but it's not the parochas that we always refer to.
So you're saying it was two curtains.
Yeah, two curtains, exactly. Now the mission, in light of that, the mission in Yuma tells us that in the Bais Sheni, there's machlokas, one or two curtains. When it comes to the actual curtain, the Kodesh Kodashim, was there one or perhaps there was two? The Mishnah describes there's really two, that the Kohen Gadol will have to walk in and then out to get to the two parochas. There's an entrance on the bottom on the south and then on the north. So you walk down here, walk between both two, and then come around the top. But this is a different one. This is a parochas that's separated between the Heichal and the Azara.
This is not the lightning, right?
The parochas, I don't remember what they're made of. I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know.
No, it's the clear. When Bias was showing,
there
was,
one.
Was a wall. By Shea was too tall, so they had a curtain.
There's a debate. The Gemara talks about in Babas about the height of it. Bayis Rishon was lower than Bayis Sheni. They wanted to make a combination of them. But I think even in Bayis Rishon, even though there's a wall, I still think there was a Paruchas also, but I could be wrong. I'm not sure. Okay. So then next Mishnah tells us, Bov Amdu Amalos HaUlam. Then they go stand on the stairs of the Ulam. Now, there were 15 stairs of the Ulam, the connected the 15 Shir Amalos that we say. So Amdu HaRishonim L'Darom. So the first one, the first Kohanim, who was referring to the first Kohanim who were doing the Medishim Mizbech HaPnim in the Diyashon HaMenorah, they would stand the south of the stairs. Achem HaKohanim, now the other Kohanim, V'chamisha Kalim B'yadam, and the five Kalim, HaTeni, the basket, B'yad Echad, holding the basket from the Mizbech HaKtaris, V'akuz, which was from the Menorah, B'yad Echad, V'machte, the shovel, B'yad Echad, V'bazach, that small calf, B'yad Echad, the kaf, the kisoiv, and the spoon, and the cover, b'yad echad. So these are the five kohanim who are holding the five kalim. Ubarach is am bracha achas, and the am would say one bracha. And elish b'medina omrim osa shlosh brachos, u'b'mikdash bracha achas. In the base of mikdash, they would say this all as one bracha, but in the outside of the base of mikdash, they would say it all in three different brachas. It's referring to birkas kohanim. So they have it in the base of mikdash, they would say it all as one continuous bracha. Now another difference between the Beis Hamikdash and Chutz La'aretz and Gvulim was B'mikdash Hayu Omrim Es Hashem Kiksavo. They would recite the Shem Hashem the way it was written as Yud Kei Vav Kei. They'd actually say it out like that. The Gemara in Kedushin, the fourth parak, talks about this, that they used to pass on how to say the Shem Hashem properly, but then certain people were no longer trusted with the name, so then they only told certain individuals about this. And then there's a certain stage where only when the rest of the Kohanim would say Yudke Vavke as Shem Adnus, then the Kohanim who knew about it would be Mavliya. They would quietly say Shem Hashem as it's written, while the other Kohanim would say the Adnus name louder.
Which name?
Yudke Vavke, the way we say it.
What
about
the Kohanim
do? If the Gemara says they're the four-letter name, Yudke Vavke, it also says the 12-letter name as well. That 12-letter name, the Rashi there explains, is referring to, you take the letters Yudke Vavke, which are four letters, and the letters Aleph, Dal, Nun, Yud, which is another four letters, and then you take Ekya, Aleph, Hey, Yud, Hey, that's another four, some combination of those, that's the 12.
On Sukkos, when we go into the Ushpizim, I don't know, it's in the Sfardim Machsorim, I don't know if you have it.
Yeah, we do
it
not.
It has Sukkim that have 12 Sukkim, the combination of those.
Right. So if you look at those Lama Tseachs, you know, those pictures in front of a Weinberger downstairs, so he has there, I think, the 12 letters, the different combinations of these three Shem Hashem mixed together. It's first like the first letter of each of them, like Aleph, Yud, and then Aleph, and then the second letter of each of them, but they're different orders. So that's what, if you look in the front, you'll see it over there. So that 12-letter name was also one of the things that the Kohen Gadol would say under his breath during the Birkas Kohanim. Okay. Where do we go now? Now, again, in the Mikdash, Hayu Omrim Es Hashem Kiksavo, they'd say the name the way it's written. Uve Medina, outside the base of Mikdash, Bikinuyav, they'd say it as a nickname, which is Aleph Dalid Nun Yud. That's how they pronounce it, how we do it. Be Medina, Kohanim Nozim Eshadem Kineged Kosvem. In the Medina, they'd only lift the hands, the Kohanim, up to their shoulders. Uve Mikdash, Agabi Roshem, they lift them above their heads. Chutz Mi Kohen Gadol, with the exception of the Kohen Gadol, who could not lift it above his head, Shein Magbias Yadav Lemala Minatitz, because it says Kodesh Lashem on the tits, you can't make your hand higher than that. Those words on the tits, so it would be below his head. But Rabbi Yehuda argues and says, Af Kohen Gadol Magbias Yadav Lemal Minatitz. He thinks that Kohen Gadol can lift his hands above his head. Shinemar, as it says, Vayisa Aaron Es Yadav El Ha'am Vayivachim. He lifted his hands to the nation, which seems to indicate, I guess, above the Am, above his head. Now, it's interesting to note, Shittas Rabbi Yehuda, in several places, if you look in the Mishnah in the second parak of Sanhedrin, and you look in the Mishnayos in, I forget which parak, in Yuma, Yehuda has this idea, just a theme, I'd never saw anybody point this out, that he always gives extra credence and chashivas to the Kohen Gadol. So, for example, what comes to mind now is the Mishnah says every single day of the year, everyone will walk down the right side of the ramp, but on Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol would walk in the center of the ramp. So Yehuda says the Kohen Gadol would walk up the center of the ramp every day of the year, not only Yom Kippur, every day of the year. He always gave added chashivas to the Kohen Gadol. That's one example he gives for the Kohen Gadol. There are others like this as well. There's a machlokas Ram and Ravid, and we know the Mishnah tells in the first Mishnah in Yuma, based on the pasuk, that the Kohen Gadol must be married to do the avodah in Yom Kippur. Beso zu ishta, the Mishnah says. So there's machlokas Ram and Ravid. Does that only apply on Yom Kippur, or the rest of the year? So Raman writes that the Kohen Gadol must be married the entire year. He must have a wife. So that's the same idea. It's not only Yom Kippur. The Kohen Gadol has this extra, this chashiv. He's a chashiv the entire year, just like Rabbi Yehuda says here as well. Rabbi Yehuda shouldn't be any less than the other Kohanim. He should also be able to lift his hands above the head. Okay, next Mishnah says, Bizman she Kohen Gadol wrote to Lahaktir, when the Kohen Gadol wants to do Haktarah that day, he wakes up and he says, I want to do Haktarah today. So Haya Ola Bekevesh, he could go to the up the ramp. Vaskan Vimino, his assistant would be towards his right. Higia Lemachtza Kevesh, he'd get to the halfway up the ramp, and then Achaz Askan Bimino. Then the assistant would take his right hand of the Kohen Gadol, Vehelayu, and he would pull him up. He'd help him get up. He was an older man. Vehoshila Rishon Harosh. Now remember, they already did the pious. All the various Kohanim had the various limbs. They were holding the limbs. They brought the limbs up to the ramp. Now the Kohen Gadol wants to do the Haktara. So now the first Kohen would hand him over the Rosh. Now the Kohen Gadol would take the Rosh and throw it onto the fire. Ha-regel, he handed him the regel. V'samachal, and then the Kohen Gadol would do a smicha on the Rosh and the regel. V'zarkim, then he'd throw it onto the fire. Then the next Kohen, Hoshit Hasheni, the second Kohen, would then hand him over the Rishon. He hand the first Kohen, be like a whole line here. Shtei Hayadayim, the two hands would hand over the second guy to the first guy. And the first guy would then nose on the Kohen Gadol. V'samachal, and the Kohen Gadol would do smicha on the two hands. V'zarkim, and then he'd throw it on top of the maracha, on the mizbech. Nishvat Hasheni, Levahalcha. Then the second guy would leave. Then Kachayu Moshitin Loshar. So the next coin would move up the ramp. And the third coin would then hand his, whatever he's holding, to the first coin. And then the first coin would hand it over to the Kohen Gadol. Again, Kachayu Moshitin Loshar Kleivarim.
So only the first one, meaning the second one that he would.
Yeah, that's it. The first guy would stay there the whole time. Exactly. Then Behu Somechalein, and each time the Kohen Gadol would do a smicha on the Eivarim. V'zarkan, and he throw them on top of the maracha. Ubizman shehurote, whenever the Kohen Gadol wanted, who samech, he could do smicha, v'achem zarkan, he could do smicha and hand it back to the Kohen, and the Kohen could throw it out. He doesn't have to do the zrika, he could just do the smicha if he wants. Whatever he wants to do. Now, balo l'hakif to mizbech, now it came down time to circle down the mizbech and go down the ramp. So then, mehechan humaska, where do you begin the hakafa? So mekeren dromis mizracha, so when you go up the ramp, so the first corner you hit, you go up the right side of the ramp, the first corner you hit is the south, the southern eastern corner. This is the source, the Gemara Yuma says, that kol ha-pino sh'atapone eino el yamin. You always turn towards the right. That's a klal throughout halacha, you always turn towards the right. So when you go up the ramp, you first turn towards the right, which would be the east, southern eastern corner. And then from there you go to the midrachas, Tronis, you go to the northeastern corner, then you go over, cross over to Tronis Maravis, the northwest, and then you come down to Maravis Dromis to the south west corner, and then you go down the ramp. Now, Nasulo Yain Lenesach, now, while the Kohen Gadol, I think, is still up there, you hand him over to the wine for the Nesach. Haskan Omen al Karen, and the skan would be standing next to the Karen. Now, it doesn't describe here, but the Mishnah Sukkah tells us when you go up the ramp, so on the left side of the ramp, there are these two holes. Or the two holes for. So one hole was used for a Yai Nesach every single day. And what was the second hole for? Nesach HaMayim. Right, and the Mishnah there tells us that the drain for the wine was thicker than the drain for the water. Because since the wine was a thicker type of liquid, it takes longer for it to go down. The water goes down quickly. They wanted them to go down both drains at the same pace to finish at the same time. So the water was a skinny drain and the wine was a thicker one. They pour them down and they empty out at the same time. The Mishnah does mention there, let's say you happen to switch the wine to the water, you're still Yotzei that as well. Okay. So right now, the skan is standing up by that corner, ready to do the Yai Nesach. And Vasujin Biodo, he had some handkerchiefs in his hand. And Shnei Kohanim Omdin al Shulchan Achalavim. Now there are two Kohanim standing next to the tables of where all the fats were. V'shei Chatzotos Biodom, they had two trumpets in their hands. Tikkul V'hiriyu, V'tikkul, they do a Tkiya, true Tkiya. Bov Amdu Eitel Ben Arza, then they go stand next to Ben Arza, who, if you learn the Mishnah, Yuma tells us he was the Levi, who was in charge, he had this ability to sing, he was the leading Levim. Echem Yamino V'echem Mismala, one guy on his right, one guy on his left. And then Shichel and Asech, then the Kohen would begin to bend down to start doing the Yai Nesach, and that moment Heinif Hasgan Besudarim, the Skan started waving the flags. V'hikish ben arz v'tzilta, then he like bang, some type of bell and symbol of some sort. V'dibru ha-levim b'shir, and then the levim would begin to sing, because we know the Gemara tells us in Brachos that the Ein Shir Ella B'Yayin. So when does the Shir take place? Dafka, during the pouring of the Yayin. So that's why you had to have this, the waving the flags. Now it's time, begin the song. So after they sang, Higila Perak, they got to a end of a Perak, a Kapitel Tehillim. Tikkur v'Hishtachvu, they blow a Tekiah. Hishtachvu Am, the Am would then bow down. Akol Perak, Tekiah, and each end of a Perak, they'd say, they'd blow another Tekiah. V'akol Tekiah, and each Tekiah, they do a Shachavari, they do a bow. Zehu. Each time it was Tekiah, true Tekiah?
Yeah.
Okay. Zeu Seder, this is the Seder of a Tamid, Lavodes Beis Elkenu, Hirason, Shebana, Bimhera, V'yameinu, Amen. Okay, so we'll stop here. Mirz Hashem, Monday night, we're having a Siyum at 8:30 at the Boims on, again,